Turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we're going to look at verses 18 through 24. I'll read the even-numbered verses, if you'll join me on those odd-numbered verses. We'll read responsively from verse 18 down through verse 24 of 1 Chronicles 21. Stand with me, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and I'll begin there in verse number 18. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor, and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, again, we come. Lord, we thank you for how you've met so far today. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you please just meet with us tonight. Pray, Lord, that you please be with those who are not with us. Maybe they're sick or they had something come up. But Father, I pray, Lord, that you please just meet with us tonight. Pray, Lord, that you please do something great in our hearts who are here, that you'd speak to us. And Lord, as we've been praying for revival, please revive us tonight. Please be with the special music. Prepare our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Wash away my sin. What can make me whole again? What can make me pure within? The blood of Jesus, oh precious is the flow that makes me white. Nothing but the
thank you. What a fitting song for the service tonight. Amen. And I appreciate that, young people. Thank you. And appreciate the practice time and those that oversee it and play the piano and all that goes into it. Thank you so very much. That's what I'm talking about. You want to offer the Lord something that costs you something. Something that costs you. And when you offer it, you want to offer it with a good heart, a clean heart, one that's acceptable unto God. Unto God. Thank you, young people, for that good song tonight. It's our Lord's Supper service, the first one for the year 2016. I'm glad that you're here. I think this is a very healthy thing. Doesn't matter what I think. The Lord Jesus left this ordinance for the church to observe. And He gave it to us for a specific purpose. I want to draw your attention here in verse number 22, where David said this, "Thou shalt grant it me for the full price." And then in verse number 24, he said, "But I will verily buy it for the full price." I'm going to speak tonight in preparation for this ordinance just quickly on this subject, the place of full price. The place of full price. And let's pray. Father, we are thankful tonight for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And thankful for this book so filled with stories about Christ. And if they're not stories about Christ, they are pictures of Christ. And tonight we read from one such story. Help me, I pray, in these moments to be used to prepare our hearts for the ordinance of your supper. And I pray that we will be drawn closer to you tonight because we were in church on this very special evening. Help me, I pray, Lord God. Fill us with power, both speaker and listener. In Christ's name I ask it. And amen. If this story sounds familiar to you, it is because we read and preached from the companion passage of Scripture this morning in 2 Samuel 24. There are companion passages in the Bible, and they're not always exactly the same, but two different writers, possibly their perspectives that God used to give us the complete picture. Now, the difference, one of the differences in this passage in 1 Chronicles from 2 Samuel 24 is that Urana is called by another name, Ornan. Ornan and Urana are the same person, okay? And again, Urana or Ornan was a Jebusite who dwelled in Jerusalem before it was conquered by David and the Israelites. And it's obvious that David and Ornan or Urana had a friendly relationship. Ornan had some position of authority in the city because he is referred to as a king in 2 Samuel 24. So again, like I said this morning, he's probably in the kingly lineage of the Jebusites. And when he was conquered and the city overtaken by David and the Israelites, he stayed there and got along in peace with the Israelites. And probably he and David had a very amiable relationship. Now, again, just what was going on. In verse number 18, David is commanded by God to build an altar on the threshing floor of Ornan. Okay? Verse 22, the Bible tells us that he was to build this altar so that the plague would be stopped. This was the plague that was sent as a result of David's sin. And remember, this plague claimed the lives of 70,000 Israelites. 70,000 died because of David's sin in numbering the people. And so David went to the threshing floor to offer an offering, a sacrifice on the altar. Okay, we learned about that this morning. You see that in verse number 22. And look at chapter 22 and verse number 1. Look what David says about this place. "Then David said," chapter 22, verse 1, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." Now, the place that God chose for David to offer this sacrifice and build this altar was not just the result of a random pick. "Ah, David, yeah, just go over there and offer it over there." It was not a random pick. This place was very special. It had both past and future implications. Now let me talk to you about future implications first. Turn in your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. So just a few pages to your right, and you'll come to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Now remember, in 1 Chronicles 21, David has gone to the threshing floor of Ornan. Same person, Urana, in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel 24. He's built an altar there, and he's going to offer a sacrifice on the altar to kind of pay for his sin. It's a place where the price would be paid for sin's penalty. Now, I want you to look here at 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse number 1. David's dead. Solomon, his son, has become king. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that, David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So listen, the Bible's very clear, if you read that there, that Solomon's temple was built on the same place where Ornan's threshing floor once stood. David had built an altar on that floor in order to stop the death plague that was taking the lives of all those people. The full price for sin's penalty was paid on Ornan's threshing floor. You got on the altar of Ornan's threshing floor. But that floor would become, in just a few years, the place... I'm losing my voice. I'm going to have to back down a little bit. That floor would become the place where the altar of burnt offering would later stand as a part of the temple that Solomon built. You learn that right here. Solomon starts building the temple. And when they start building the temple, they start building the altar. The Bible says that it was in the place where his father David had prepared an altar on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now, of course, the altar of burnt offering was the place where the sacrificial lambs would be slain at the temple. And their blood was collected and their bodies were burned. You know about that. It was the first step in the process of offering a sacrifice for the atonement of their sins in the temple. This place was the place where the full price was paid for Israel's sins by way of sacrifice. It was the place of full price when David offered the offering on Ornan's threshing floor. A few years later, that became the very site, the very place where Solomon built his temple and the altar. And the Israelites would come with their offerings. And the full price for Israel's sin would be paid for year after year after year. Not in some random place. Not just go out there and do it where you want to. It was in the very place where just a few years previously David had offered a sacrifice that paid the full price for his sin. Now, David's place, this place that Ornan's threshing floor, had future implications, but this place also had past implications as well. I want you to notice that the verse there in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 says, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. Now, if you read the Bible and you pay any attention to Old Testament, back in the book of Genesis, something very special happened on Mount Moriah. So you understand, the spot on which Solomon began to build the house, the temple of God, where the altar would, where they would offer sacrifices, was the same spot where David had offered a sacrifice on the threshing floor of Ornan. It was also the spot where another altar had been built many years earlier. Look in Genesis chapter 22. You don't have to hold your place. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. And of course, I am referring to the story of Abraham and the offering of his son Isaac. Okay? Now, all the way back in Genesis chapter 22, and the Bible tells us there at the first couple of verses in that chapter, and I'm laying the foundation and going somewhere for just a simple thought. And it came to pass after these things, verse 1, that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Now, verse 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So Mount Moriah was the spot where Abraham was told to go to offer his only son Isaac. You remember the story? He gave birth to Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, but that was not the promised son. And God came and said, No, you've jumped ahead of me and gotten ahead of my game plan. You and Sarah are going to conceive a child. Sarah's going to give birth. That's going to be the promised seed. And finally, that boy came when Abraham was 100 years old. And Sarah was 90. And that little boy, Isaac, begins to grow up in Abraham's home. Now, we are not told in chapter 22 how old Isaac was. A lot of people put Isaac as a little bitty boy because he uses the word, Abraham uses the word in verse number 5, lad. But folks, you know, when you're 100 and so many years old, a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old can be classified as a lad. Amen? Okay? I mean, you got to, you know, when you get a little older, you got to watch it. You'll do it, you know, you don't want to do disrespect to young men who are in their 20s, but sometimes we call them kids. You know, but it's really, they're not kids, but you know what I'm saying. Amen? Some of you do. Some of you know real well what I'm saying. All right? And those of you that don't, you'll get there one of these days. All right? And you'll be calling 20-year-olds kids, all those kids, you know. But anyway, it's very interesting. Listen carefully. It's very interesting that in chapter number 23, after Abraham takes Isaac to the mountain and puts him on the altar, in chapter 23, Sarah dies at 127 years of age. Now, I'm not dogmatic about this. She was 90 when she gave birth to Isaac. She died at 127. That's 37 years. That means Isaac was what? 37 years old. Chapter 22 happened a few years before chapter 23. Chapter 22 happened a few years before chapter 23. Maybe Isaac wasn't a 6-year-old. Maybe he wasn't a 10-year-old. Maybe he was 33. Maybe he was 33. And to a 133-year-old man, he would be a lad. Okay. Now, I'm not dogmatic about it. I'm just throwing it out for a little food for thought. A little food for thought. Because you know what happened. Abraham was told by God to go offer Isaac on the altar, but Abraham also knew that Isaac was the promised son through whom the promised seed would come. Isaac was not yet married. Isaac didn't have any children. He didn't have a lineage. So Abraham, by faith, knew that if God was going to take his son in death, God was going to raise his son back to life because through that son, there would come the promised seed. So in this story, in Genesis 22, Isaac becomes a picture of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And folks, when you look at the similarities between the two, Isaac and Jesus, and the story of Isaac taken to Mount Moriah and Jesus going to Mount Calvary, it's amazing how the similarities both involve a father and a beloved only begotten son whom the father does not withhold. God did not withhold Jesus. Abraham did not withhold Isaac. Both sons are obedient unto their fathers, even unto death. Both sons are delivered unto death, as it were, and returned again to their fathers alive on the third day. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Isaac never died. He was as good as dead. He was as good as dead. Because the Bible says that Abraham had that knife in the air ready to, and the angel of God had to stop him. It was already done in Abraham's mind. Isaac was already dead, and by faith, Abraham, he told those folks, he said, hey, I and the lad are going to go 3 days' journey, and then we are going to return to you. By faith, Abraham saw ahead and realized that if God was going to take the life of his son, God would have to raise that son back up to keep his promise about the promised seed. So both sons are delivered unto death, as it were, and returned again to their fathers alive on the third day. Both men bore upon the shoulders the wood upon which they would offer up their lives. The Bible says that Isaac bore the wood for the sacrifice, and the Lord Jesus Christ shouldered that old rugged cross and carried it outside the city of Jerusalem a couple thousand years later. Both went willingly to the place of execution, esteeming their own lives not as precious as fulfilling the will of the Father. I think about Jesus saying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I think about that. Now listen, you look at here. Verse number 2 says that the Bible, God said to take Isaac to the land of Moriah. Now, the land of Moriah, he said, I'll show you when you get over there which mountain. So it wasn't random again, was it? It was specific. He said, you get over there and I'll show you which mountain in the land of Moriah. Now, we know the land of Moriah contained many mountains. We know that Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. Moriah was the place of all of these mountains. It was not one specific mountain. It was a range of mountains. We refer to the Rocky Mountains, not just one mountain, but a range of mountains. We look at the Smoky Mountains, not just one mountain. We look at the range of the Smokies, okay? Moriah was a land of mountains. It was a mountain range. All of these places, Abraham's altar, David's altar, Solomon's altar, and the cross of Calvary, the altar of Jesus Christ, were all located on the mountain range of Moriah. I'm convinced that David's altar on the threshing floor and Solomon's altar at the temple were on the exact, they were on the identical spot because God said they were. He said they were. I don't know that Abraham's altar was on the identical spot. I don't personally believe that the cross of Calvary was on the exact spot of the temple altar, but I do know it was in that mountain range right there in the, around the city of Jerusalem. But it's not so much, folks, the place that I want to focus on tonight as what happened on that place. In every one of those situations, Abraham's altar, David's altar, Solomon's altar, and Jesus' altar, all of those were a place of full price. They were a place of full price. You know, there are a lot of similarities, as I already mentioned, between the two, Isaac and Jesus. But there's one obvious distinction. Obvious distinction. A substitute was found for Isaac. When Abraham was ready to plunge that knife into his son, the angel of God stopped him and he saw over in the thicket a ram caught by his horns. And God said, there's the substitute. Well, they didn't find a substitute for Jesus. He is the substitute. He was the substitute. He became the substitute on that altar. And here's the main thought for our hearts tonight. It is obvious that David paid the full price for the sacrifice he offered to God. It's obvious. The Bible says it. I'll buy it from you at full price. Twice he said that. I'll offer it to you at full price. So David paid the full price for the sacrifice he offered to God. It's obvious that Abraham paid the full price when he offered up Isaac to God. Again, in the mind and heart of Abraham, Isaac was as good as dead. It was done. When Solomon's temple got underway, they brought the sacrifices in and the full price for that year was paid on Solomon's altar. It is also obvious that God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, thank God, paid the full price when Jesus was offered on the cross of Calvary. And sin's penalty was paid in full when Jesus offered Himself on that old rugged cross. And that price is what we remember tonight. That price is what we think on tonight. The price was a body offered and blood shed for the remission of our sin. The price is pictured by the bread, which is symbolic of Christ's body. You know that. I'm just going over this for the young people, for folks maybe who are new to the Lord's Supper. It was symbolic of Christ's bread. The bread that we will pass tonight is symbolic of Christ's body. It was in His own body that He bore our sins to the cross and died for them there. Can I say to you tonight, folks, that was a steep price. But Jesus paid it in full. He paid it in full. The picture is also, the price is also pictured by the juice that we'll pass in a little bit tonight. After we pass the bread, we will pass that little cup of grape juice, that non-fermented, like we've been teaching on Wednesday night, that non-alcoholic juice, which can only picture the pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fermented, rotten wine, alcoholic wine that puts people under the influence to do wicked and vile things cannot be a picture of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That juice is symbolic of Christ's blood. It was His own blood that was shed to pay the penalty of our sin. Can I say again, church, that was a steep price. The cross of Calvary, like Abraham's altar, like David's altar, like Solomon's altar, the cross of Calvary was a place of full price. A place of full price. A steep price. And the truth of the matter is, a price that high demands something costly in return. Which takes me right back to what I preached about this morning. Are you willing to offer God that which cost you something? Because the price paid on that cross was steep. Steep. Let me ask you a question. You know, let's say somebody does something really nice for you. I mean, really nice. They didn't have to. No reason. They just did something really nice for you. Maybe they gave you a gift. And that gift, you know, was valued in the tens of thousands of dollars. A beautiful gift. Something kind of, maybe they found out that you'd always liked or maybe collected, and they went above and beyond just out of generosity. They brought you this gift. And you know, after you received that gift from them, you looked at it and you thought about it and you kind of did a little research. My goodness, that cost a lot of money. I want to give something back to them. You kind of feel obligated to give something in return. You probably don't go to Dollar General to look for it. You probably don't go to Dollar Tree. I go in that store. I went in that store once this year. Once. It was enough to make me sick. I don't know. Maybe you like to go there. I don't know. It just bothers me for some reason. I don't know. But anyway, you wouldn't go to Dollar Tree, spend a buck. You'd be embarrassed to spend a dollar to give to somebody in recognition for the expensive gift that they gave to you. Oh, here, I wanted to do something for you in light of what you did for me. But in real sense, is that what some Christians are doing? In light of the cost, the price that was paid for sin's penalty, in light of the cost, the price that was paid, the full price that Christ paid on the cross of Calvary, doesn't that demand in return a gift that cost us something? Sure it does. You know, once in a while, our choir sings a song entitled, Much Too High a Price. And the lyrics on the chorus go like this. You paid much too high a price for me. Your tears, your blood, your pain. To have my soul just stirred at times, yet never truly changed. You deserve a fiery love that won't ignore your sacrifice because you paid much too high a price. And Christ did when He paid the full price for sin's penalty. So that we can be freed from that and enjoy eternal life in heaven forever and ever and heaven on earth in the process. And friend, for you and I to just kind of be stirred up once in a while and yet not changed and not motivated to offer in return something that cost us, what a shame. Don't shop at Dollar Tree to offer God something in light of what He's done for you. Be willing to pay the price. You know what Abraham offered on that mountain cost him. It was the place of full price. You say, well, Isaac didn't die, but in Abraham's heart, he was as good as dead. What David offered on that mountain cost him. It was the place of full price. What God offered on that mountain outside the city of Jerusalem cost him. It was the place of full price. Does what we offer God cost us? And are we willing to pay full price? Not to be saved, but because we are saved. In light of the great gift that God has given to us, full price paid for our redemption, full price paid for our salvation. Folks, I've been eating up with this thing. I was going to preach this message I preached this Sunday morning. I was going to preach last week, and I lost my voice. When I did, I realized how beautifully it fit to come back on Sunday night at the Lord's table and talk about the place of full price. The place of full price. We're going to observe that tonight, what it cost the Lord Jesus to provide salvation. God help us to be committed and willing to offer Him something that cost us. I will not offer to God that which cost me nothing. I won't shop at Dollar General in return for something as precious as salvation. The price of full price. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Father in heaven, I pray that our hearts would be stirred to offer You the very best that we have. our hearts, our soul, our mind, our body. The total package. God, help us tonight. In light of the fact that the full price was paid for sin's penalty on Mount Calvary. And tonight we stand redeemed, forgiven, children of God, heirs of salvation. What a great, great standing is ours because Christ paid the full price. Help us to be willing to offer You in return something that cost us. Lord, I'm afraid there are some Christians who just really aren't offering anything real costly. We fit in our service for You around everything else that's going on in our lives. It doesn't take first place. It doesn't occupy our hearts and minds. You don't have the place You ought to have. Help us, O God, to be willing to offer You that which cost us something in light of how much You paid for our salvation. Save anybody lost here tonight. Draw us to You, to a place of commitment, to a place of consecration like never before, a place of revival in our hearts and souls, of living for You every day of our lives. May it be so, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved tonight, what a wonderful service to come at the invitation time and trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. The price has been paid in full by the shed blood of Christ on Calvary. Come by faith and receive that gift tonight. If you've been saved, never baptized, what a great day to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And child of God, if you've been coasting, if your service to God has just been getting less and less and less involved, less costly to you, less thought, less interest, is that really what you want to offer God in light of what He's done for you? You don't want to shop at Dollar Tree in return for what God provided at salvation. Are you willing to pay? Offer that which cost you something. Let God work in your heart tonight. Let God draw you close to Him. Rekindle the fire that ought to be burning in your heart tonight. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation if you obey the Lord tonight.